The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained here in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24-7. Today, believe it or not, is the 18th of November, 2017, less than a week to Thanksgiving. Everybody knows what I do. We've been doing this for 2 months. Most people stand up, I'm sure, but we stand up, deep breath through the nose, out through the mouth, and repeat, I am a winner. I am a champion. We do this repeatedly because the way we are working things, especially now with all of the shows we're talking about, the mental rewards of learning how to inspire yourself, how to build from the inside and out to the outside is where we're going now totally. And everyone knows, too, about our brand new page that's being built, the Manly Men's Movement, constructed by Dr. Wong and myself. We just have come to the point where we're very tired of what's been going on in this country for at least 40 years. We ratchet it up all the time when he and I are on and many others because we feel it's really affected men in a very negative way where a lot of men don't know their place anymore in the world, and you have sons and daughters coming up that if you see what's been going on, it's disgusting out there. So we've had enough of it. We are constructing a page that's going to get into more than just manhood and manliness. It's going to teach you, if you don't know, how to have manners, how to have standards and build your standards. When you go out, how to conduct yourself in a restaurant. How many places have you been? Most people don't even know how to hold a fork correctly. Your napkin, how you place it. Do you open a door for a woman whether she wants or not? We are going a whole different direction here the way we believe men are built. And warriors are built, but a warrior can still be a kind, gentle person too. The greatest thing about the difference between a warrior and the run-of-the-mill guy is a warrior knows when to put the brakes on when it's time not to be nice. So get ready because you're going to be able to come in, update the page, video. We want your children involved with it. This is something we even plan on next year. We seriously want to go out with a group of men and make it lucrative enough where we can all travel together, and we want to go out and speak. So we've got big plans. And I also say this, too. I wrote this, came up with this. May we all live among the brave forever. And that means a lot, and we'll get into more and more of that. As I said, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Look at the winner's circle, our contribution page. It's all there. You know what it is. Go out and take a peek at it. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Ryan Stewart on today. I've done one show with Ryan, so you can go out and listen to our previous show, obviously, and obviously the new one will be up tomorrow. There's over 825 shows out there now in 3 years. That's phenomenal. And we're just going to go bigger, bigger, and bigger. That's the idea. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com homepage. Right at the very top, you can sign up for the newsletter. If you sign up there, it goes right to MailChimp, and you'll get anything that I put out. Anywhere else, it goes to Never Never Land, but I think we got all that. So be on the lookout for a lot of new things. All the etched in stone products are coming out for the men, the women, and children. And 2018, in my opinion, is going to be the biggest year to date for this company, for both of them, FBC and M&M. Ryan's on with us, and I'm going to give you some information on this gentleman. Let me get right out here. Number one, he's the co-owner of Black Flag Strength and Fitness. He's a power lifter, strongman, and Highland Games competitor. Ryan, welcome back to the show. And before I bring you in, We're going to talk about something real interesting, and I'll make reference to it after Ryan and I get started. We're going to talk about U.S. stones, and we're going to probably get into some Highland games, and obviously I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of philosophical things because, you know, the show is just going to keep branching in ways to build yourself from the inside out. So with no further ado, welcome back, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me back on.
Give out your website, anything I missed, and we'll get started, please.
Yeah, Black Flag Strength and Fitness. You can find us on all the social media. We're actually in the process of revamping our website right now, so I'll get that back to you.
Okay, that's great. Obviously, when we first introduced you, see, I thought that Ryan lived in the UK or Scotland or Wales or whatever, because you know you really don't hear other than Bill Crawford. I can't think of any American lifters, and I'm probably sure I missed them, but I never saw them or heard about them. So yeah, I contact, just to catch everybody up on how I got in contact with Ryan, was through social media, and I said, look, I'd love to have you on the show. I mean, we're so involved with the Stones, as everybody knows. Would I like to be over there right now? Absolutely, but everybody knows I'm building both companies, having to work outside them. I'm doing everything I can to get over there, but right now the businesses have to flourish because financially that's got to come first. You talk about a double-edged sword, but we'll get there. And the opportunities now, as I said on previous shows, Ryan, I haven't talked to him about this. I mean, I've had invitations all over the place. Martin Janzik's obviously and Charlie want to take me on the Rogue Tour. But the big thing is, which is very, very exciting, besides going to Wales, too, the great Stevie Shanks and Jack Shanks, for anybody that's not familiar with Jack, I believe it was over 100 years it was, Jack was the first gentleman to lift the Dinnies. Now, I could be wrong on the years. We're going to have James Graham on, who just wrote a book about Donald Dinnie, and we're going to get all the facts in. But I believe it was Steve's father, Jack, that was the first one since Donald Dinnie. And if you look at Jack, Jack was not a big man by any means, and he was incredible. Well, they have offered for us or myself to come over and lift the famed Shank Stones, which are similar in how you would look at the Dinnies, but they are even heavier. And Charlie just did them, and as Charlie said, he would have liked to get them higher, but he did get the wind beneath the stone. So very exciting stuff. But now we're going to talk about, and obviously once I got a hold of Ryan, we find out he lives in the U.S. He was on, I believe, in August it was of this year, and the rest is history. Now we've talked about, I'll just catch everybody up on this too. You all know Bill Crawford. Bill and I have talked about, he was looking into a lot of things. Where are the famous U.S. stones? Or are we going to go out and find them and start making a name for those? Now, when I approached Ryan the other day with a topic, because I always ask our family of guests first, he came up with that. That was the first thing he sent me besides the Highland Games. Right away, he captivated my attention because this has been on my mind now for 3 years. So, Ryan, why don't you take it away? Catch everybody up a little bit, your feeling on why do we want to start building some American stones here? And let's just take it from there, my friend.
Yeah, the guy who's been the biggest help for me has been James Graham. He's been so helpful, so supportive of my efforts to find stuff in North America.
Yep.
And to not only find ones that already existed from, a long time ago, but also to get ones going in the United States because it's got to start somewhere.
Yep.
And, I kind of went through the process and being new to the whole thing, went through the process of going online and trying to figure out where to start. And I figured, well, who's been here the longest in North America? And it was the Indians.
Yep. Yep.
And so I started kind of messing around and trying to see if there was any sort of a heritage in stone lifting that the Indians may have had, or lifting anything in general, and really couldn't find a whole lot. And sure enough, if I dug deep enough and was able to come up with some stuff up in Canada.
Okay.
And actually, it's not so much the Native Americans down in the U.S. It's more of the Inuits up in the Canadian area, Alaska area, and some of it even stretching as far over across to Russia.
Okay.
And, yeah, you know, kind of came across some stuff in there, but found some actual hard evidence as to some stones and where they may be. And even there was reference to the weight of how heavy they may even be in it. And so, yeah, going to kind of try to keep going that direction and see if I can't contact some people in the area. It's kind of remote. It's going to be very hard, but I'm willing to put the work in to see if I can't make it happen.
You know, I've always wondered, too, if there was a lot of it in Hawaii, too. Because, you know, I've always kind of thought, now, would there be stones there where, I mean, you look at a lot of these Polynesian guys, too. I mean, these dudes were not small people. And I've always wondered, is there stuff lurking around there? Because I can't believe for the life of me that there's not something that was here. Or if not, there's not something we could find. Because, hey, you know what? If we don't have a group that did it, say, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, if we really want to get into this and bring this to the United States and bring the guys over here from Scotland, or the guys from Iceland over here, or Wales or Ireland, what's it matter? That's the way I'm looking at it now, because wouldn't it be a nice to go find – I don't care if we went to the Dakotas, Wyoming, you know, you talk about Canada, things like that. There's got to be stuff in British Columbia, man, that would probably blow our minds.
And I actually did find some references to the British Columbia area and the Indians that were living there.
Yep.
So there is some stuff there, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I would be very interested next year, currency-wise, to get involved with you with this. I would, if for any matter, if it's just we could reach out to people or do shows with people, start promoting this, especially, I don't know what you're going to do next year, if you got any long-range plans. We had talked about contacting each other with Iceland. You know, everything right now for me, as you know, is like anybody's based on capital, because this is how I look at it. If I'm going to Iceland, I'm not coming back home and jumping on a plane again and going to Scotland. Not when the distance is not that far by plane. And if I'm in a financial situation, you know, I could stay with Martin. Then Martin and I would travel to Wales or whomever else. And then Steve, you said you can stay with us. I mean, maybe it's a week at a pop. I'll tell you what I'd really like to do, and I said this to you before. Obviously, Iceland is the first thing, and it's nothing against the Dinnies or the Inver or anything, okay?
Yeah.
But I really have got to do, before the day they set me in a hole, I have to do the Húsafell. But more than ever, I have to go to Latra, because I believe that's where I initially tore the arm totally. We've got those three monster stones that have to go on, obviously a large one where we're in sand. As I said this morning on a show, if the weather's pretty bleak and dark there and the ocean's rough, you're going to even have ocean water popping at you when you're standing there. And obviously when you're walking down the stairs, and you're going to be even closer to this ocean, and these aren't stairs that somebody made, folks. They've been there since who knows how long. You got the Judas stone, and you go a little further, and you've got the column stone. I believe the Judas stone, it's black, and it's about 275 pounds. Don't let that sway you that it's only 275 pounds. When you see this thing, it's a monster. And the column stone is 600 pounds. And it's a big, long column that you got to pick up and put right down. If that thing ever flopped back on you, it'd kill you. All right, so I would really like to do that, but obviously that's on the other side of the fjords, and whomever goes, whether we go to Scotland or not, which I would, you know, that's a day and a half you're going to lose right there. So, you know, before I commit to anything, I would really like to do those two ventures in Iceland because, you know, I want to go to those other places, but I got a score to settle there. So that's something that's on my mind all the time. You know, we find go ahead. Got a comment? Go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, I'm already in the process of putting together the Iceland trip.
Nice.
Kind of trying to figure out the logistics as far as the exact time period, but it looks like it'll be in July.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Who's the fellow is going to be the number one target, obviously.
Yep.
And then from there, head over to the, was it Dritvik Stones?
Yep.
And then, you know, Latra is going to be the third set that I'm going to try to hit.
And then Legenstein, I take it, after that?
Yeah, you know, yep. I'm going to give it a shot. From what I understand, it's quite the drive. I was hearing like 8 hours.
It is. We were, I told you, I think we covered, I don't know, I want to say 4 days. Maybe it was five. I've lost track. We covered over 1,100 miles. I mean, it's long. You're going to be in a vehicle for quite a while. And the nice thing was, though, different people that were involved, obviously, from I'm trying to think of his name, and it's not on my mind right now. You know, they had inns with people, and we could stay at these inns, or we could go somewhere in their houses and have dinner and all that. I mean, it's very spread out. Obviously, the drives are, you're out in the middle of nowhere, so you're going to need, you know, like Toyota sponsored 08, so you had the Land Cruisers. You've got to have a vehicle out where you're going there. You can't do it in a car, number one. Big people, you're going to be crunched. But you've got to have something that can handle those roads because I'm telling you right now, if something could happen to you, they'd never find you again. Or if they did, you'd be long gone.
Yeah.
So the safety part is gigantic. It was Peter. He was the police commissioner there, and he had set it all up. So, yes, that is a very involved ride. That's why we hit Husafell last. And I think for a lot of those guys, probably that stone should have been first. We went Dritvik, Latra, Legenstein, and then we went to Husafell. And I will tell you this, one of the most beautiful things you'll see in Legenstein, if you should hit there, it looks like the ocean goes forever, but it almost looks like the end of the world. It looks like it goes so far out with the sky when it's bright blue and the big clouds that you think you're at the end of the world. It almost looks like it. It is by far, Iceland by far is the most beautiful place I've ever been to. It's very easy to get caught up in it, and I've told you, I think, on the last show, depending on what's going on with me, there would be a very good chance that I might go live in Iceland for a couple years.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking where I'd like to live close enough to Husafell where I could go lift that stone every day of the week if I wanted to. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it from a whole different perspective, but that's another thing. But what do you think? I mean, all right, the investigation, we find some stones, whether they are in the United States or they are in Canada or both.
Yeah.
I feel the anticipation for that. It might not be real big at first, but if we can get some of these big names coming over from Scotland or Iceland or whatever, and we've got enough strong men here in the United States, what do you think, Ryan? Can we get something rolling here or what?
Yeah, absolutely. And so kind of there's some things in the works here that we have in Utah where I live.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing to kind of bring the natural stone lifting a little more to the forefront out here in the West.
Yep.
Because, you know, being that Bill Crawford is back there in the East and, you know, he brings guys out and has all those stones out there. We're trying to kind of get the same thing rolling out here.
Right.
And attach it to our Highland Games here. And
okay.
The same way that Bill Crawford brings out, you know, Half Thor to the Loon Mountain Games.
Yep.
We're actually in the works of bringing Brian Shaw out to our Utah games. And part of having him here is we're going to have him lift some very, very large, heavy natural stones and have that be part of the weekend festivities is having him go through and try to shoulder some of the big monsters that we've pulled out of the mountains here.
That is awesome, because I'll tell you what, I'm glad to see all these different people coming, but, you know, we've got some really good WSM people here. Obviously, Brian Shaw wins and wins and wins. I just don't feel I don't think we've promoted our athletes a lot. I mean, the United States, it's funny. You know, we know football and basketball, baseball, things of that nature. Soccer's grown here quite a bit. I mean, they promote. Now, I do believe there's a hunger for strength, because let's face it, without strength, you're not doing much. Now, I've heard this a million times from people when, you know, I'll go out and talk to people and, you know, oh, what do you lift and this and that? And I tell them and they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really? Well, you know, I like that stuff, but I don't want to lift that type of things. Now, I could be very rude to somebody and say, well, you probably never could. But I don't play that game with people, because, look, a lot of this stuff is built on ignorance, what we do. All they do is lift stones, or they're probably not very smart, or, you know, I don't want to do that, or why am I going to go and, you know, rip the skin off my hands or skin my shins, et cetera, et cetera. And I could care less about football. I haven't watched football in 10 years. I haven't watched the NBA probably in 20. I do watch baseball here, and I'll tell you why I watch baseball, and I don't agree with a lot in baseball, but I like the idea of pitting batter against pitcher. I don't care what they try to do. They do the shifts. You know, you got the analytical guys, the whole deal. To me, it doesn't mean squat. When it comes down is who's going to get who that night, and that's why I enjoy baseball, and I'll cut it right at there. Now, I think the stones, and I've talked about this, this is some of the things we're doing with the etched products, is what I've done is I've taken stone lifting and taken a sandbag in the same capacity and bring it, and I'll bring it down to any level you're at. And when people end up doing things like this, they're amazed at suddenly how much stronger, how much more confident, how much they start to like things. I've had people have come here, young kids, who would never thought they'd touch a stone. Next thing I know, I got them lifting either natural stones or the steel stones we build here. So never say never. And I think, especially now in today's world and with all the nonsense you see going on, especially in the schools where they don't want any more phys ed, it's being thrown out of everywhere. They don't want kids taking really much of a break at all. And now, like the other day I was reading, which is real serious, 60% of our country is obese. In my opinion, disregard all the stuff we like to do, but I won't. I have found, and if I knew this when I was 10 years old when I started, what a sandbag can do for you when you learn how to clean it, bear hug, and walk it. Anybody that's never done this, and your kids are playing ball, I'll give you a free tip that I won't charge you a dime for. Go out and learn how to carry a sandbag and make multiple ones up as your son or daughter grows into them. Start walking distances with them. Go as much as you can go. Drop it. Rest. Whatever you're going to do, build a lighter bag. Go back and get it. I am telling you right now, if I knew that when I was 10 years old, I can guarantee you I would have been even a better athlete than what I became. I'm not kidding you when I say that. Anybody that comes over here, besides doing the basic three to build the foundation, goes right away into a sandbag, whether you like it or not. Go ahead and take it away, my friend.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point. And it would also save all these parents a yeah. ton of money
yeah.
not having to buy these massive home gyms and stuff. And it would go a really, really long ways. Weighted carries and
yep.
just lapping a sandbag in general, if it's heavy enough, is extremely hard and builds a tremendous amount of brute strength. And
yeah.
I agree, man, all around there. And save people money, make their kids stronger, toughen them up.
Yep.
I'm all about it.
Well, I'll tell you, Martin Jancic's put out I don't know, you laid it out there for anybody, a challenge somewhat. And he was on a show, and Clint Darden got a hold of it, and Martin said, if you can clean and shoulder a 200-pound sandbag. Now, I've had people say, well, 200 pounds doesn't sound like a lot. I said, have you ever lifted a sandbag with even 100 pounds in it? And most of them come back and say, well, yeah, but, yeah, here's the but, folks. Clean that off the ground and see if you can clean it and stand up with it, because the majority of people can't. See, this is a thing right now, and I'm going to get right to this. So, of course, Clint Darden, who's our good friend out in Cyprus and a strong man who's getting ready to go in a big meet, he started it up, and he's sending me notes all the time. I hate your guts, man. And I'm like, what the hell's your problem? He said, yeah, you know, you and Martin put that challenge out. I said, I've already hit a 180. I said, I haven't gone to the 200. I'm doing, it's still in the back of my mind. Will I do it before I leave for Iceland? Absolutely. But there's other things going on here right now with the way I'm training, which is very interesting stuff. So Clint says, you know, we're going back and forth, back and forth. Well, it pushed him to the point where he ended up doing it, and he clobbered it, all right? And, I mean, that meant even having to go out to our good friend Ken Nowicki and getting sandbags from him, because that's where I send everybody. He had old sandbags, and you talk about dedication. I mean, literally, they were breaking out from underneath him. And for anybody that doesn't know this, and it's public knowledge, I want everyone to know our good friend Clint's had cancer for quite a while now. And when he was lifting those big monsters, he was going to chemo every week too. So no excuses, because he never makes them. But that in itself to me is even more special. That a man of that caliber that is suffering like a SOB still gets out and do it. So that's why, no matter how I feel, you know, it's very easy to make excuses, and especially when you tackle things like that, that really, in context, we like to say, well, they're not made to be lifted. Well, yeah, they are made to be lifted, but, man, you're going to have to put a hell of a lot of horsepower in something that's trying to shift its ass all over on you. Now, I have two theories on that, and I'll get to you right away, Ryan, is this. To me, here at my place, duct tape is my best friend, right? Because, you know, you can duct tape these monsters as tight as you want, and sometimes it works to your benefit, sometimes it don't. What I have found is a lot of times I'll have them a little bit looser. I might take rope and tie them almost like a package you would, you know, end to end, side to side. Maybe you drop some of that good gorilla tape around it, and away you go. I found, for me, for lifting them, I like to have them a little bit looser, because when they're rock hard, it's a bitch to even try to, when you've got to get that in position to press it in front of you, when it's too tight like that, you can't really dig your fingers in too good. You might get it a few times, but you got to have a little bit of looseness on it. So that's just a tip. But that's what I'm saying, Ryan. The ability for what we do, and I say this all the time, we can take this and calculate it down to the smallest object you got. Hey, look, I've got a 7 and 9 year old niece and nephew among many, and I've got them lifting sandbags. Now, I built 8 and a 12. You know, I taught them how to do it, and you don't have to teach them twice, man. Kids are like kaboom onto it. All right, they'll be here tomorrow for dinner if it doesn't rain like I'm hoping it won't. They'll grab me the minute they come in the door and say, can we go out in the back? I've got a 15-inch tire they flip, the sandbags. I have little stones that I've broken, and they lift them and walk them. And I have them do grip work, which I love doing with them. I have them pinch grip the picnic table, top and bottom like that. They go nuts. And then like Danny, he's 7. If Maggie stays out, her name's Madeline, but we call her Maggie, they'll sit out there with all my stones, and they'll build like a warship with it. I mean, I love it, man. I love watching what ends up transpiring out of all this. But the thing I really love about it is they'll ask if they don't know. They'll tell you when they've had enough. And it's beautiful, because I wish everybody that was older than them would come with that same type of give it to me, you know, but I'll hand it right back to you, but give me your feeling. I mean, you know, you've been in this long enough, sandbags, whole thing. I think a sandbag is the greatest way to start to become a stone lifter. What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it builds from the ground up exactly what you need to carry it over to the stones, and especially the natural stones.
Yep.
Like you said, if you have a loose bag, you know, the way that it shifts and it's awkward, you know, that simulates those natural stones, whereas the Atlas stones, it's kind of the same thing every time, which is fine, and I appreciate Atlas stone lifting also. But it is kind of the same thing, and it's, for me, I don't know, the man-made of the Atlas stones versus the God-made of the natural stones is definitely more enticing.
Oh, and I'll tell anybody, because wait till you see it, when you pull up, when you're in Husafell, and I've said this before, you know when you're at the sheep pen or close to turning in, you'll see the one-room steeple church and the big gold cross. You can't miss it. It doesn't matter what the weather is out. When you see that, eureka. When you drive over the bridge and you drive down that little pathway to the church and where Snorri Bjornsson will be buried, you'll see all of not only where he is, the house where his great-great-great ancestor is, and we always knock on the door to ask. You don't have to, but just being polite, he usually will come up with you. You'll get to go in and see his hobby house where he can play music on the xylophone that he built out of stone that'll blow your friggin' mind. This little hobby house is built right in the side of a mountain, by the way, folks. You'll see one of my favorite stone carvings there. If you've watched Steve Jeck's video, you'll see this massive stone with a face on one side, and that's Snorri Bjornsson. When you see that, your throat will literally get a lump in it. And I mean that. I don't care how tough you think you are. At that point, you're not walking much further, and wherever the Husafell fell, it will be. And I'm hoping whomever, whether we go over and Ryan's there or Martin or anybody, my biggest wish all the time is when you see that beast, you'll see it laying on the ground. They usually never stand it up once it's done. It is by far, it will just blow the top right off your head.
Well, I feel like with any of these, especially the ones in Scotland for me, if it's not a religious experience for you going to some of these sites, you're probably dead inside.
Without a doubt. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right on the money, because what's going to happen, what I did especially before I left, and then when you come up to that stone, you're gonna wonder right away. You know a few people lifted it, but you're going to think now. And this is when Ryan talks about a religious experience. It's like, here was what I thought. Whose DNA now am I soaking into me? Because I don't care if it was back in the day of Snorri Bjornsson. My feeling is anybody that touched that left it in it. And I'm absorbing that too. So when you think on strength, when you think about who was before you, it all goes in to this recipe that you've done prior to getting on Iceland air and coming over to Iceland itself. It is, it's an experience that even if you don't go to lift that stone, I would tell anybody that's interested in just the culture of it, you should jump on a plane and go see it. Now, I got smarter too through Stevie and another person. Now, because usually, now, if you go over in July, the inn will be open, so you can stay right near where the sheep pen is, but there's also a hotel there that's a little bit more modern. Now, see, we could never find out about that, and let me tell everybody, we drove from Reykjavik the first time, well, with Peter and Bill Crawford, we knew we could find our destination, okay? The second time I went, we got lost. And when you're in a little car and you're up in the mountains and it's snowing and you know you've passed Husafell, that can be pretty tricky. And as we all know, one of the worst things is to be cooped up in a car when you're going to lift something of that magnitude. A lot of times it'll bottom you out right on your chin, man. So now I won't be any further than probably 10 minutes where I can walk to the pen. That's what I'm going to do. I will never, other than to go visit Reykjavik, won't stay there to go and do that. So those things are really vital when you're messing around with something this magnitude. That stone, you know, I've heard reference 390, 418, I don't care. What the hell's 18 pounds or whatever? This thing is mammoth. It's a beast. And when you get there, just the sheer look of this thing and wondering how you're going to position it, because, you know, not everybody pulls it up and down. Now, the way I the last time I went, I did it from the side like Bill Crawford. I pulled it up. Obviously, we couldn't see in front of us, so that killed everything. But that's neither here nor there. This time when I go, I'm going to train it the way I do. I'm going to lift it the way I do the steel stones. I'll take it by the center, which will be the big top where it looks like a shield, and the lower end where it gets smaller to the point is how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to turn it. I'm not going to do anything. I'm either going to pick it up that way or it doesn't come off the ground, period. And that's why I would tell anybody going. Obviously, there's people with more experience than myself, but I think whatever you're going to train, you should lift it the same way you train it. But that's just me. That's from learning going there. I'm just passing on that wisdom. So add to that, Ryan, anything you want.
Yeah, you know, you got to be as sports specific as possible. And obviously, you know, if you're a massively strong human being like some of these World's Strongest Man guys, sure, they can go over there, mm-hmm. you know, pick out however the hell they want and do whatever they want with the stone because they're just brutally strong. But for us, strong but average guy.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I think you're absolutely crazy if you're not being sports specific for these stones.
Yep.
And not only lifting a ton of natural stones and walking with them at home, but yeah, I mean, exactly how you're going to do it there. Do it the exact same way at home. Absolutely.
Well, I'm a big believer in pathways, especially, you know, to the brain. And we know the hands, the way they connect to the brain. I just believe that's the best way, no matter who you are or whatever. Obviously, if you're 6'9", 430 pounder, unless something's going on, that shouldn't be a problem with the Husafell stone. But, you know, it's like a lot of things. Many a big, many a strong have failed on all those things, okay? And they feel like, all right, I can pull 800 with a deadlift. I shouldn't have any problem getting a 418-pound stone off the ground. Wrong. Wrong.
Because
I will tell you, you can think I'm full of shit, but I can tell you, I know. I've seen it here at my house. I've talked to Bill where they've had massive power lifters there that had a bitch of a time even lapping a 230-pound Atlas stone. They get very pissed off, and they're like, this is why I used to train with a lot of power lifters about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And when I started getting into the dead stop start stuff off the rods and the power rack, these guys are strong guys. I got news for you. I couldn't get one of them to come in and do it with me. Why?
Yeah.
Because, see, they had reputations, and they weren't going to let anybody see them fail with what we were doing. And I never had one bite at it. They were interested. Don't get me wrong. They'd come over, what the hell are you doing, and blah, 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 blah. But it's like anything. This is a very strange field that we're in, I guess. I like to call it physical culture. A lot of people, we were talking about this recently, due to Facebook and every other thing, you know, I'm trying to think who was it? I don't remember who I had on with it, but it was very interesting. They're like, if you want to get a trainer and they're on Facebook and it's just selfies of themselves, you better run the other way because you're not going to get anywhere. Now, I'll tell you right now, not only would I like to do that, and this just came into my head, and I've got to find out when, I would like to set that trip up with the Scottish Games, with the Ard Blair Stones, with our good friend Charlie Oliphant, because that would be fun as hell to take a 40 to a 335-pound Atlas stone and see if I could drop them all on the old-school oak barrels. How much fun would that be, man? I mean,
well, that's bucket list.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just like there's so many things you want to do. There's only so much time you got. But to me, I'll put it to you this way. I would like to lift every single thing I can. I don't know if that'll ever happen. But my main thing is if I had to go pick one thing, well, two things, is I want to go to Lotra and avenge that stone. If it was all over after the Husa fell, that I'm not saying I would be satisfied the rest of my life because I'd be thinking about the others, but I could walk away if I had to, because to me, the Husa fell to me is still the greatest manhood stone out there. And you don't have to agree with that, but I think you got to see it to believe it, because it is just phenomenal. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and that's why I'm going to Iceland this year. And I thought about going back to Scotland and doing many, many more of the stones that I missed the first time.
Yep.
And but I think I can leave that to a later time. But yeah, Husavell is definitely the most important to me at this time, and along with the others there in Iceland.
Oh yeah.
It is kind of the mecca of stone lifting.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, you can't take anything away from the Denny's, which you've lifted, or the Inver. But I think what's happened was what really got me into stone lifting, obviously, was that Steve Jeck video. I think that was in 2002 or 3 or whatever it was. And yeah. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, my God, I got to learn how to stone lift. I mean, that was that intense to me where I couldn't let it go. I mean, I got to the point where I wore the first DVD out. I played it so much. It's just something about it when you walk there and you're on that land, man. It's just like it's breathtaking. It really is. And all those other places, you know, whether it's Dritvik or Lotra or Legenstein. I mean, the tale of Legenstein, where you'll see this big massive stone there, and the talk of it when we were there was basically the farmer made a deal with the devil and to come back to life, basically. I believe that's how it went. But the devil reneged on it, and obviously it didn't happen for the farmer. So he's buried under this big massive stone, and resting against that massive stone, if I remember, I believe this stone weighed, I want to say it was 400, I think it was, or 400 plus. And what it looks like almost is like a big dagger. And this thing is big, man. I mean, it's another one that you got to grab in the middle and get around where that stone where the farmer's buried. Now, from what we're told, they said when 100 people go around that, the farmer's soul will be free to go to heaven. Very interesting stuff. If anything, to inspire you, whether it's folklore or not, those are the things that, you know, when you're a kid and you used to hear stories and stuff, you never forgot. And it's all about going and chasing something that could essentially break you in half, or you break it, or you lift it or you don't. See, that's one thing I love about all that stuff. Yeah, things happen, but really, there's no excuses. You lift it or you don't. You walk it or you don't. You walk it or you drop it, and you can't pick it up again. These kind of things, these stones, you're only going to have so many shots of testosterone ripping through your veins, because as I'm sure Ryan can attest, they can take the manhood out of you quick. So take it away, brother.
Yeah, they do, but you're right. You know, it's the stories that go along with all these stones. Hundreds of years for a lot of them. The people who have touched the stone, the people who have lifted the stone, but I mean, the stories that go along with it is what makes it so much fun.
Oh yeah,
and especially the life draining. Yeah, I have definitely felt the life drain right out of me.
Yeah, absolutely.
A long day of stone lifting, that is for sure.
Yeah, but you know what the nice thing is, man? You did something. It's something that'll stay with you the rest of your life. When we talk about stories, you come home and, you know, you tell people what's going on. And even people, like when we talk about this stuff, that aren't weightlifters, stone lifters, they really are intrigued by it because, you know, it's like, you know, it's like the Rocky movies. You know, I don't care. I'm not going to call any of us underdogs. I'll call me an underdog. It's like that adventure. You know, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, you're a strong man or woman, but you are an underdog to a point because let's face it, you're going to a whole different country. You're, you know, it's a little bit different.
Cards are stacked against you.
Totally.
Sure.
It's not like walking into Ryan's gym. Ryan knows it. Like my place, I know it. I'm comfortable there to a point. But boy, oh boy, when you go somewhere else and, you know, maybe you're not sleeping right or your food's off a little bit, or and anybody that tells you they don't get a little nervous before they walk up to one of those stones is lying to you. Because if, as Ryan said before, you know, if you're not feeling this, you are probably dead inside, and that's the truth. If your adrenaline isn't pumping when you go to grab that stone, and your head feels like it's running a million miles a minute, man, something isn't right with you, and that's the beauty of it all. Is it going to drop you down, or are you going to drop it down? I think that's what life is all about. I think that your approach to everything, your attitude to everything, how you conduct yourself, what you want to do with yourself, helping others, obviously, with what we like to do here. We wouldn't be on the air talking about this stuff if we didn't want to encourage other people that maybe are on the fence or maybe are stone lifting and saying, you know, I really always wanted to do what those guys are talking about, and I'm thinking next year I'm going to go there. Let me tell you something. It's not as hard as you think it is, but it's preparation. You better have a hell of a head on your shoulders, and you better build the most strength you ever have in your life to date. You do that, there's a very good chance you could be signing that book for the Inver or getting your picture taken with Sonori's great-great ancestor right at the sheep pen. What's better than that? Because you know what, folks? That touches your life off forever, and this type of training will allow you to go after anything you want in your personal life because you're not going to be afraid. It's the fear that stops people from doing things. You would be amazed, and I'm sure Ryan can attest to it. I can. When you leave and go there, regardless what happens, you're not going to be the same guy or gal you were when you jumped on the plane when you come home. Take it away, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I enjoy the process of getting ready for a big trip like this just as much as the trip itself.
Yep.
I mean, I'm 7 months away from you know, hitting Iceland. And last year, I had a lot shorter time to get ready for the gathering and hitting all of the manhood stones over there. But yeah, the process of putting it together, it's funny. I sat there with a big map and just circled everywhere where those stones were, and then, you know, I had to go through the process of the directions to get there, and thank God for Martin helping me on that.
Sure,
and
sure.
Then, yeah, going through the same process now for Iceland of putting it all together and putting my gym program together and stone lifting program together so that I am 100% ready, and it'll be the most fun 7 months that I could possibly have just in the preparation for going. It just gives me goosebumps.
Absolutely. What do you think? I mean, we've talked about this. What are your focal points? I mean, obviously you want to be complete and you want to train a stone. What are you thinking? Obviously fingers, hands, forearms, lower back, the whole deal. But what do you feel? Is there a key you feel to your not only survival but your success there with the famous stones of Iceland?
Yeah, you know, the way that I do it is I work myself from the ground up.
Yep.
And as weird as it sounds, my feet,
yep,
my toes, my ankles, I start there and I get that stuff in. And really focus on, because, I mean, none of the ground that you're going to be standing on is going to be a hard, even surface.
Nope,
none of it.
None of it.
And so if you're not ready for that and your feet and your stabilizers aren't ready to go, you're not going to be able to handle any stone no matter what the weight.
Nope.
So I work myself from the ground up. And yeah, bottom line is if you're not lifting and carrying stones,
right,
you're not going to go anywhere. And I'm lucky enough. I had a conversation with Nick Whalen, who just manhandled the Husafell Stone when he went this last year.
Yep.
And he's actually going to come drop off his training stone. He lives down in Arizona, so he's going to drive up here and drop it off for me so that I'll have a good stone to take reps with and get used to it and give me a little better feel for it before I leave.
That's awesome. I mean, you know, that's what Bill and I talked about, too. I mean, if you're going to handle large stones, you got to train large stones. I'm doing some pretty interesting stuff that I feel is going to translate to these stones a lot. I'm doing a lot of dead stop start mid rack training, yeah. But I'm doing like very specific lifts that I feel are going to really
like help. Zerker.
No. I'll tell you what I've been doing. A lot of isometric holds. Right now, obviously, I'm hitting the bottom position with the dead stop start with the squat. I leave the other set of rods in on the last set. I take and pin it for as long as I can. That's one movement. As I said on other shows, I believe when you squeeze a stone like that, it can cause a lot of pec pain. And one of the things I feel, especially when something that heavy is laying on your chest, I do close grip bench presses. It's the same way. Well, I do a floor press. I don't do anything on a bench. I'm laying on the platform where my rack is lagged into. That's another movement I'm doing with the holds. Obviously deadlifts, I do it from about mid shin just to below my knee with the holds. The bent rows, the same fashion. I'm doing a thing with shoulders that literally when you initially do them, they'll feel like they're going to break your arms off you. Is what you do is you do a dead stop start from the bottom of your chin to your forehead. I don't care how strong you are. You have no leverage with any of these movements at all. Now, people are going to say to me, what the hell is that going to do for you? You will start building leverage. Your weights are going to have to come down considerably. Now, one movement I've been doing where I'm finding they're all result producing. I've only been doing them now for 3 weeks. You pull from your navel to the top of your rib cage. So it's going to be like a high pull, all right? And the last set, obviously, when you pull them, you're going to pull against the rods. I've never felt such extreme rhomboid size and power coming on. I've never seen anything like this with weights. And then I always finish off, obviously, with, I feel, one of the greatest movements ever that's been lost is the pullover.
I agree. I love pullovers.
Right. You're going to have, between the rows and the pullovers, among everything else, you're going to have a set of lats on you like you've never seen before. But the lower part of my rhomboids and stuff from doing those pulls like that, it's only been a couple workouts, and I already can feel a change in them. Now, physically, does it look like any different? No, but it will. One of the things that really inspired me with a lot of this stuff was, you know, I'm a big fan of Anthony DiTillo, always will be. I put a picture up the other day of him from the side. Now, Anthony, they say, was 5'8". Richard Soren told me he was probably 5'6", 335, maybe more. And he didn't have a big, massive stomach on him. This guy from the side was, like, unfriggin' believable. I mean, dead stop start, 435 incline. I mean, come on, will you? I mean, I don't even not even today's age, there's many people doing that. Anthony was clean, too. So what I'm saying here is, yes, you have to carry. And I have a pretty ingenious way, the way I carry, where I use barrels. And I have 3 Husa steel stones here. So I can run these monsters any way I want. I am doing a lot of support with the sandbag with it. I've changed up a lot of the ways I'm training for the next time I go, with the belief that when you talk about manhandling things, I don't want to even think about it when I walk up to any stone. I just want to do it, and that's it. and put and put it down gracefully, and we go to the next one. Obviously, I'm sure people hear me screaming from Iceland in America, but that's the way it is. So a little bit different style, extremely concentrated with the lifts, but I feel not only am I going to get the most size I've ever had, but my goal is to have ligaments and tendons visible through my skin. Now, I know that sounds insane to probably a lot of people, but it can be done. But this is the kind of training where you got to be very careful because this can put your ass down. You know, I hate that word overtraining, but you can wipe your system out pretty good with this kind of stuff. So the balancing effect of all this to get to these places are not to complicate it too much, but do the things that you need to do. I think for with the squat alone, Ryan, I think the dead stop stuff for me is the key to getting that off the ground with, you know, I don't want to say ease because that sounds like, is this guy full of shit, 418 pounds? But I mean an ease that there's no struggle. Because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, if you struggle with the Husafell, you're going to drop it. Or you'll stand up with it, you'll walk three steps, and it'll fall right out of your hands. So go ahead and take it. I've been going way too long. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, in many, many, many different ways to train for it, and I'm trying to hit them all.
Yeah.
And kind of leave, no pun intended, no stone unturned.
I agree.
But, yeah, I think I told you last time, I'm lucky enough to where I have a big Van Hatfield that lives down in Mapleton, which is just about 30 minutes south of me.
Yep.
And he let me borrow his IFSA shield, which is 408 pounds. And so, yeah, I mean, I have something to work with there as far as the actual weight of the Husafell stone and something that is just big and beefy. And so I'm going to practice lapping that thing as much as I can. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of work. But like I said, it's going to be the best 7 months I could possibly have being able to train for it.
Well, there's no doubt you'll know you got your manhood when you go to lift that thing. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I love about all that stuff. And as you – well, you won't have it, but I mean – the weather's starting to turn here big time, so I try to get all the walking I can in while the ground is clear. But I have to train out in the snow or whatever with that stone. I can't take three and a half months off, or I don't get out there when I want to. So at times, you know, I try to keep everything as clean as I can, but it's not always easy because you're having stuff every day practically. So you have to be prepared for everything here, and I will tell you, when you're training in this stuff, obviously it's going to slow you down a lot because if you've got snow under you, you know, that's resistance, obviously. Or if you go out like many times we've had to train and we had snowstorms going on, and I don't cancel it. I'll dress accordingly. I'll go as far as I feel I can go without getting myself in a health position that could cost me. But I don't take it easy either. So these are all the elements that build into when you finally jump on Iceland air and go over there. And in my opinion, these are the things that make the difference whether you're going to lift that beast or not. And you're not always successful, and that's part of this thing. See, it's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of fun. But here's the deal. You get on that plane, it's for real, folks. when you land there, wherever you're going to stay, whether it's in Husafell or Reykjavik, and you go there whatever day you've chosen to go, it's real, man. I mean, and there's no going back, and there's no second guessing at that point. You just keep going ahead like a missile, man, and hit your target, win it, get it. And if you're going to do like we want to do with the different destinations of other stones, have at it, because I'm telling you right now, I was lucky I got back there, but most of the people that went in 08 with Bill, like Bill said, and he made the perfect comment. He says, this might be the first and only time you ever get over here. There's a lot of truth to that. You know, things happen, family, obligations. It's not as easy as you think it is. So if you are planning on going over or you're interested, do it. Don't wait. Don't friggin' wait. What else, Ryan? I mean, I know we're going to talk a little bit about the Highland Games and stuff, but and not that it's not of interest, but you know, when we get chugging on these stones, man, it's like you can't get your teeth out of the bone, so to speak. But
yeah, absolutely.
You know, give us some of the plan. I mean, are you going to be hitting any Highland games before you go to Husafell, or what do you got planned coming up?
No. As far as Highland games go, I retired from being a pro in Alaska last year.
Okay.
This year in June. And I won't be actually throwing again until I'm a master. I'm 38 years old now.
Yep.
I'll be 39 in February.
Yep.
And so, yeah, when I turn 40, I'll probably throw maybe for a year or two. It's just, you know, almost a decade as a pro.
Yeah.
Wears you out. Just one home game. The rest of them is 12 to 14 games in all other states. It is nothing but travel, lots of airports, lots of rental cars. And as much as I love it all and wouldn't take a second of it back, it is extremely taxing and tiring on you, your family.
Yep.
And you know, it's, people think it's all fun and games being a pro Highland gamer, and it is a lot of fun and games, but it is also a lot of work, and a lot of people don't realize that there is no off season for us. We just keep plugging away and working extremely hard to stay up there on top.
Well, you know, and it's not like you're retiring and going to something easier. I mean, you're going to go live.
No, definitely not.
Right? Right. So, I mean, you know, like they say, pick your poison, but I mean, you're going after the greatest stones in the world, and I'm very interested in the U.S. stones and stuff. It would be great to start seeing whether it's here or north, you know, up in Canada, whatever. It doesn't matter, but it would be really nice to maybe down the road in the next couple of years, you know, say, hey, look, we have found some really legit stones. And, you know, we're going to go up and lift them, whether you want to sanction this thing or whatever, which that's one thing I like about, Charlie and I were talking about, one thing we like about this stuff not being mainstream is, you know, then you can't get these people in here that, oh, it's snowing today, you can't lift them. We don't want that stuff. We want to be able to make this something that you want to be at, where it's like not all these damn rules all over the place. And people, you know, you see so many people have never done things like this, suddenly trying to tell you how to do everything. I understand the business end of that and all that, but you know what? If I'm out in the middle of, say, British Columbia, I don't think we're going to get a lot of takers to come out and try to run something like that. That's just a bunch of wild warriors out in the woods that want to go out and see what they're made of. And that's one thing I love about stones. It's still one of the few prehistoric things I'll label it as that you'll ever find. I mean, it's right up there with the great white shark and, you know, the killer sea turtles and all that great stuff. So we do have one thing I know that's left out there that, in my opinion, is pretty pure, man. And I would really like to keep it that way. I'm not saying not teach people, not inform them, not encourage them to go and do it. But on the other hand, it is nice to still kind of be buried, quote unquote, underground a little bit.
Yeah, we are kind of in a revival right now when it comes to stone lifting, at least the way that I see it. I mean, it's exploding. I think the Rogue Stoneland movie is a big part of that, which is great.
Yep.
But yeah, it's funny because as much as it's becoming more popular, I kind of wish it didn't at the same time.
Right. Because
yeah, call me selfish. But yeah, I enjoy it and I do it and I love it and it's for me.
Yep.
And whether or not anybody else likes it or loves it or even knows what it is makes no difference to me. So,
well, I think too, you know, we talked about the page with the manly men's movement. This is something that we can still do. And we're losing a lot of freedoms like that because everybody wants to govern something. Most people have no idea what that stuff is. Most people couldn't even attempt it. And I think that's the beauty of it. I mean, we have a luxury that I would hate to lose that because somebody decides they want to create an organization to dictate to us and pay our fees. It costs enough to go over there if you're not sponsored, as you well know. It's not only an adventure and a hard ass thing to do, but let me tell you, it's not cheap to travel abroad like that, especially if you have to stay somewhere and you're not with people. But on the other hand, when you love something that much, it really doesn't matter. You find a way no matter what.
Absolutely.
Ryan, why don't you give out all your information? We'll get you back on sometime of the first of the year. But give out your stuff. I'll give out mine and hang on the line if you would, please. And summarize anything. If there's anything you'd like to add, take your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can just follow our gym, Black Flag Strength and Fitness, both on social media and hopefully within this next week. Our website is being produced. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and let's see. And actually, my training through Stewart Strength Systems. And, yeah, you can find all those on social media.
Cool. Excellent. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. You can look at our winner's circle and contribute to the businesses. We appreciate that. Excuse me. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Now, this will be the second show Ryan and I have done. We'll put that up tomorrow at some point. But go out and look at, we've got like over 825 shows already in 3 years. We just celebrated. That's a phenomenal amount of podcasts already. And obviously the plans for 2018, we might even double this next year. I mean, the possibilities and potential are there. And who knows what's coming our way. Who wants to contact us about coming on, or I contact them. The leads are all over the place. It's just right now we are fundamentally doing a lot of changes, and we have to, because the way the show's growing, you just can't stay the way you are. It's not that way anymore. So everybody wants growth, and growth is great, but growth requires change, time, and money. So it's a big deal. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. If there's a show you'd like Ryan and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Also, too, we are on the AHA directory, which is AHA. You can get M&M in your car 24/7. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration. 5 words of inspiration can save your life, believe me. And if you don't think so, there's plenty of people that can attest to it. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, you know, curl it, do whatever you want with it, all right? Squat it, all those great things, all those great. One thing I didn't mention, I'm doing these halves, these curls too. You want to see someone that was doing the stuff I'm doing? Bill March was one of the big ones doing the middies. Go look at the bicep on Bill March. That was one of the things Bill was doing besides everything else. He's got a bicep on him that looks like a friggin' softball. I mean, or maybe a small football. Unreal stuff. But I'm going to get into probably a singular show, or if I can get our good friend John McKean on here. John was one of the main people that got me into the middies. He had a great he's had great articles through years, through different forms, whether it's Hard Gainer or what. I tell you right now, go out and read all you can that John's produced. He is a mastermind. I just put up one of his writings yesterday. He is just something else. So check all that out. Also, the Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We're domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And as the great Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone coming out of my speakers. Well, that's the truth, and there's going to be more in 2018. No one will ever clip our balls. And my great college professor, Frank Klein, who was my business teacher, would always say, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor ever, he'd walk every patient in the door, no matter how busy he was, and say, keep smiling. Say that to yourself. I'm telling you, it will just change the way you are no matter what type of day you're having. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we won't kick your door in. We'll blow the roof off your house. Be part of the family. Join the revolution. The great Les Brown says you'll all have greatness in you, but we take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know many people that would do that in today's world. Men, as we said, get in shape. Take good care of your wives and girlfriends. And wives and girlfriends, same thing. Get in shape. Take care of your husband and boyfriends. It's very important. Your children, someone's always watching you. We want you with us for the next 30 years, and you're going to want us if you haven't already. We can be bigger than you will ever, ever know, and we plan on doing that. So that's the next thing. And obviously, don't let anyone drive a wedge between you. There's a lot of vampires out there. Stay strong, stay together, and stay with us. I mean it. Ryan, always an honor, sir. Love talking Stones with you. Look forward to next year. Hopefully we can meet up at some point somewhere. I'd love to get over there and do some Stone work with you, my friend.
Thanks, man. No, I really appreciate it. I had fun, as always. And, yeah, let's try to get together and head over to Iceland.
Oh, God, man. I mean, that's all I'll be thinking about now. I mean, that puts a buzz in my head like you wouldn't believe. I just love it. We will see how everything shakes out here. And as everyone says to me, there's one gentleman, Matt Dahl, that owns a sand dune. And I want to say that before we go. He always says to me, Eric, with that golden voice, he says, you're always one click away from someone contacting you that wants to hire you. Who knows, man? But you could be right around the corner of something great every day. So, you know, as I always say, every day you wake up, you have a golden opportunity to make good, so take advantage of it. And before I sign off with Ryan, the sand dune has been phenomenal. We've got him here. When we talk about proprioception, the connection of the feet to the brain, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of an MMA fighter named Matt Brown. He had all kinds of problems. He just was in a fight. He demolished his opponent. He's an MMA fighter. We're going to have him on the show, it looks like, next year. But these sand dunes will straighten out any foot injuries, ankle injuries. And right now, they've already been shown to help people with Parkinson's like you wouldn't believe. And I have a Parkinson's person over here named Mark. And if you go out to my website, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, and click sand dune, when Mark was over here and I was running him through some exercises and we filmed him, if you look at him initially, his hands were shaking like a leaf, and he would put them in his pockets, as I'm sure he was self-conscious of it. When he was on the sand dune for a couple minutes, you watch what happens. He pulls his hands out. They're not shaking anymore. And he's already seen phenomenal results with it. He's been suffering with this nasty disease for 10 years. So sand dune is for any athlete, especially people with diabetic neuropathy, and I'm doing a lot of work with people, and we're going to build a lot up on this end. You can go right out there and read about it, and if you want to buy a sand dune right now, you will get 10% and free shipping in the USA when you tell Matt you listen to Motivation. Matt's number is 714-995-4500. You know how to get a hold of me if you want to talk to me. I can definitely get you in touch with Matt if you don't buy phone. I'm telling you right now, anybody in the Albany area that owns any type of gym, you know, CrossFit's real big here, I bet you I can put you on a sand dune and knock you on your ass in 1 minute flat. I've got a running motion on that thing that I don't care how good a shape you think you're in, it'll floor you. Now, I use one out in my gym in between sets. I'm not going to get into it because John Bruni and I right now and a few other people are involved. We might do some certification with it. But if you go out to Matt's site, Sand Dune USA, you'll see John, myself, and a few other people that have done testimonials and video. This thing's the real deal, and it's very interesting where we're going to go with it. So go out and check out the sand dune. Ryan, always an honor. Thank you for being on. And like I said, we will get in touch early part of 18, my friend.
Sounds great.
Okay. So for Ryan Stewart, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. This show will be up most likely tomorrow afternoon or evening, but it will definitely be up tomorrow. And we will get ready for another week of some big names and big people on here. And we just keep growing, and you should too. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon. And thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.